History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today, our guest host is Grace Buckman.
I'm Grace Buckman, and today we're chatting with Maria Mason, the senior leader and pastor of Tribe Byron Bay, alongside her husband, Phil. Amazing woman of God who loves the prophetic, and her new book has just launched as well. So very excited to be speaking with you today, Maria, and hearing more about that.
Thanks so much, Grace. So good to be on the show today.
To start us off with, can you tell me a little bit about where you were born and raised?
Well, I was born in southern New South Wales in Wagga Wagga. And it was a great beginning to life. I spent the first 9 years there. My father's a journalist and later on went on to work for the Australian government in immigration. And so we moved up to Canberra. And from there, we lived in Europe for a season. And I finished off high school back in Canberra. So had a good taste of country life, city living, and also went to the nations as a kid and got to experience just what that felt like. And that was a really formative experience for me. So, yeah, I had a great family. My father and mum were just beautiful Christian people, Catholics who love the Lord, and their influence on me in my faith was extreme. They were very godly people, but they actually were a part of the charismatic Catholic renewal in the late 1970s. Yeah. I was going out partying in high school in years 11 and 12, and they were getting filled with the Spirit in the living room with all these other Catholic charismatics day night. So, yeah, that was very confronting for me in my party days. And, yeah, it was really, I had a great childhood. I mean, there were certainly lots of bits about it that, like every kid, you realize there were missing parts, but there was plenty of pathways to find God. And fortunately, I did find the Lord when I was 19 in my own faith and got radically and gloriously saved and filled with the Spirit.
And I love that that's part of your journey, like growing up in that Catholic Christian home and really having that firm foundation. But exactly like you said, you get to the point where you really have to establish and come to know Jesus in your own way, right? It's not through your parents' faith. It's not through your grandparents' faith or friends, but it has to be your personal relationship. What caused that? Was it a friend who shared the gospel? And I know you grew up in that Christian home, but what was that shift for you?
Yeah, I'm just one of those people that I never liked the world. I tried the world. I tried all of its, you know, all that was on offer. And all the time that I tried out, you know, different things. I went to university for a short period of time, very short, by the way. I tried out many things quickly from the age of about 15 to 19. I even tried out different faiths and dabbled in all sorts of ideas and philosophies, but I just couldn't escape the reality of the presence of God that I'd felt as a child. And so for me, it all came back to that. And around about the time I was in year 12, I was 18 years old, and the Lord just began to speak to me hugely. I had been given a Gideon Bible, and I just opened it one night, and the Word of God just burst off the page and hit me right between the eyeballs. And I had some pretty incredible encounters that led me to the Lord as well. They're quite long stories, but in short, God got me to where I needed to be. I said to the Lord, I need to be with some Christians who just really know what the presence is. And the Lord took me to a community that had that as a center of their faith in their practices. And so, yeah, that for me, I got saved into the presence, and I've just always been a passionate pursuer of the presence. And the times when I haven't had the presence, because Phil and I have been on a big, long journey in many different churches over the course of our 40-year journey together. We've just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary this year. I know we're old people now, right? And so we had been, by God's journey and design, taken on a long journey because of his studies and working in the United States. But the one thing that highlights our journey is either the presence was there or we weren't experiencing the presence. And when the presence isn't there, life just isn't fun. That's my testimony. I just think the presence changes everything in our Christian journey. And so I think we've always made that our pursuit. And I'm very pleased to say that I think the Lord loves that. I really think that the Lord loves passionate pursuers of his presence. I think he finds great delight in people who incline their face and eyes toward him and just believe him, and you know, that he wants to engage us. We don't have to figure it all out, but we do have to engage him so he will engage us. And it's that draw near to God and he'll draw near to you thing, you know. So, yeah, I love worship and prayer, are two major passions of mine. I'm just really excited about that stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that first part that you said as well, and something I personally found in my life, that God will, Jesus will pursue us. And whether it's we've never heard the gospel before, maybe we grew up in church and we don't really have that relationship with him, but there's always that moment where he pursues us relentlessly, and it's so beautiful. But it's that beautiful partnership that we have as well, and he pursues us, but then it flips and we pursue him in our walk, and it's that beautiful ebb and flow and just being able to work with Jesus throughout that. And I love that just the pursuit of his presence has been such a big part of your life, but also your marriage with Phil, and 40 years, that is phenomenal. And just, we need so many good, godly Christian marriages, because it's such a light in the world that we're living in. So congratulations on that. And it's so beautiful just to see so many men and women running after God together and being able to do that in marriage. But for both of you, so I know you're pastoring your church down in Byron Bay at the moment. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? Did you grow up thinking that you'd be a pastor, or what did that process look like?
Definitely not. No, definitely not. None of the above. I actually didn't really know that I was called to the ministry to that depth until I was almost 30. So during my 20s, we were having a family. I was pursuing the presence of God. I was a worship leader. I was a intercessor, prayer person, started prayer groups, started preschool groups for moms, and did all the, you know, those kinds of activities that you're doing at that stage in your life when you're having little people. And it was lovely. Actually, it was through the Toronto outpouring that God got a hold of me, and literally my life turned inside out and upside down. We went to a conference, you know, where the outpouring was happening, and it was a 7-day conference, believe it or not. I know that doesn't seem humanly possible to do that, but somehow we managed it with four children that we left for one whole week. But I went there one way and came home another woman, completely transformed by the power of God, delivered from so many things that had plagued my personality, you know, particularly self consciousness broke off me, intimidation broke off me, and I realized that I was wired as a prophetic person, and all this engagement I'd been having in my internal world since I was a little child, about 5 years of age, wasn't just my imagination or a weird personality type, but in fact that I was gifted, like so many in the body of Christ, with a capacity to tune in, to have a sensitivity to God. And that set me up for the prophetic. It set me up to know God. So I don't come to my prophetic gift with a, you know, sort of an overrated view of my prophetic gift. I just know I'm a kid seeking God. And because you're wired in sensitivity, God can speak to you and through you. So that's the way I function in my gifting.
Yeah, that's good. And I love that element of the prophetic, where it is just, it's seeing the Father's heart for other people and just being able to share that and just being that available vessel of God. How do you want to use me today? Who can I encourage? Who can I give a word to, and just encourage them, build them in, and push them towards all that God has for them and is calling them into. And I know the raising up of people in the prophetic as well, and mentoring and training, sounds like that's quite a big part of your ministry with your husband at the moment as well.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we are absolutely fanatical about training and equipping the body of Christ. Like, we dream about running courses all the time and, you know, just equipping, because we're in a season right now in the church where we have a window of time to get people on page with the kingdom ministry of Jesus, which is getting the Father's heart front and center, training people to minister to one another. How do we break trauma? How do we minister into believers' lives, delivering them from the shame and the accusation and the lies of the devil, and getting them on fire in their inner core so that they are in love and just confident believers. You know, that's our passion. So, yeah, I think we'll be doing that to the day that we pass into glory.
It's so encouraging and so needed as well. And I love your heart for the prophetic. And I know I met you earlier this year at the church that I go to, our women's retreat. And there was so much just power in the words that you shared. And I remember we're like marching around the room just, and the beautiful declarations and power that you have, it completely changed the way that I was praying. And very similar to what you said, it just broke so many things off me. So that was a huge weekend for me. And I love that the prophetic is such a big part of that. But I know for you as well, so your new book has also just launched. Can you tell me more about that? What did that journey look like as well?
Just a word on that, actually, Grace. Many people want God to do the work for them, but we have to activate what's already been planted on the inside of us. We have to activate. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and if you don't activate prophecy, it doesn't kick in. You've got to ignite it. You know, it's a little bit like the lawnmower. You can put the petrol in, but until you pull that trigger, it's not going to get going. And there's an activation that occurs. We can activate our spirit man to come alive. We can activate the gifts of the spirit within us. And so, yeah, I'm really intrigued by the science of that activation, by how people do well. And sometimes, obviously, in our faith communities, people don't do well. And why is that? And I think one of the reasons is because people don't learn and are not encouraged to be activated. They become observers instead of participants. And this is one of the major problems we have in the church today, that we end up with lazy and, I'm going to have to say the word, fat. Please don't take that personally, anybody out there, but you know what I mean. Like, we can end up not exercising the spiritual muscles, and the writer of Hebrews says the spiritual senses must be used continually. They must be used continually. So your spiritual senses are on the inside, and they're quite similar to the outward senses. So I've written a book on that called The Heart Prophet, a manual for feelers, seers, and heart restorers. And this book dives into another aspect of the prophetic, because currently in the church we have a very one-dimensional view of the prophetic. It's for prophesying destiny words and prophesying revival. Now, both of those are absolutely brilliant, but there's more. Jesus was a heart prophet, and he came to introduce us to the Father and to bring many, many, many sons to glory. What does that mean? It means turning us from orphans into confident heirs, where we can pull on the grace of God because we know who our Father is. And so my book centers around that theme, but I dive into quite a bit around sensitivity. I've done a little bit of research in there on highly sensitive people, HSPs, and in the church they're often called feelers, and sometimes they're called seers because they can see in the spirit. So we know those two words in the church today, feelers and seers. And then I take it to another level, which is heart restorers, which is using the prophetic to bring the healing heart of our Father right into the very core of people, really delivering them from the power of shame and fear and intimidation, all the things that everybody struggles with. So that's kind of what my book's about. It's really an encouragement to the body of Christ to step up higher, that we're only really getting to know the prophetic right now in the church, and it's just early days. A lot of people think, oh, wow, this is it. I'm like, no, this is not it. There is way more that God wants to do with the prophetic. Next level. Next level prophets, next level heart healers, heart restorers, healing the very core of nations. And this is where the Father's taking the prophetic, in my view, and that's why I've written this book. So I'm very excited about the power that it has to change culture, the power that it has to change people's understanding. I think we have capped off on the prophetic. I think that there's strategies at work to cap off the prophetic in every local church, and the Lord's saying, you want the nations to be restored, you've got to blow the roof off and let the prophets rise up in every sphere. Maybe they're artists, you know, maybe they're empaths, they're counselors, maybe they are intercessors. They're all different kinds of prophets, and we've got to move the conversation away from just revival prophets to restoration prophets. This is going to heal the nation, and this is what I'm super passionate about. We've written some other volumes on these areas to do with healing and the intersection between the glory of God and community and Father Heart and transformation, and that's what we're passionate about.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so exciting. And I love that you take it that next step with the heart restorers. And I know we were speaking about it earlier, but it's like the Father's heart. And when we can truly know and understand that and step into our identity as a son or daughter of God, the amount of shame and condemnation and fear and guilt that breaks off, I really believe that that then equips us to then do the work of our Father and of Jesus as well.
Yeah.
So I love that that's a big part of your ministry at church and equipping people practically, but then also the book to be able to see a lot of the research, the practical steps in, and having that as a beautiful tool in our toolkit as well. So tell me a little bit more. I know you've just done the book launch in December 2023, but tell me more about where people will be able to find not only the book online, but more about you and your ministry, your church in Byron Bay as well.
Our church, Tribe Church, it's actually had a name change just on our 25th birthday last month. So we dropped the Byron Bay because we're all over the region now in little hubs. And then we only meet fortnightly currently in the small town of Mullumbimby. And that's where we have our big meetings once a fortnight in the afternoon at 3 p.m. And you'd have to check our website for details. So on the Tribe Church website, it's actually called still, our domain is still tribebyronbay.com, but you can go to the shop there and it'll have all of our resources. My book is there. That's for Aussies. But if you're outside of Australia and you're listening to this podcast or this radio recording, then you can go to Amazon and just order straight from there. It's not in Koorong yet, but it's on Amazon. So yeah, or on the Tribe store. So head on over there and you'll find the link.
It has been such a pleasure having you on History Makers today, Maria. I love just being able to hear about so many different people across Australia and the globe, just what God is doing in their lives. And he's really raising up this end time army, which is so, so exciting and such a joy and honor to be a part of. So I so appreciate your time, and I reckon you're a history maker. So thanks so much for your time, Maria. And yeah, look forward to hearing more about your book, your ministry, and getting a copy for myself as well.
Thanks so much, Grace. What a pleasure. Nice to meet you again.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.